This morning, in Sunday school, we did part 15. We did some of the verses that Paul talks about. We did most of them. I'm sure there's others in there. Found some more later, naturally. About what he says about being lost. So he does talk about the judgment of God. He does talk about the terror that that we know of and the darkness that they're in. And, the weak and beggarly elements of the world and trembling and the judgment of God and these things. Fools without excuse is what they are. And the Bible tells us about that thing. So and they're in the flesh. That's probably the biggest thing. Then we went over just a whole bunch of verses on what Paul says about salvation. We didn't talk about what it is to be saved. We talked about salvation. And what I'm thinking more and more, we're going to look at this here tonight. You know, when you hear 20, 30, 40 verses on salvation, and the notes are online, tweaked up a little bit better than they were this morning, a little bit. It's a strange thing. You read or hear about 20 or 30, 40 verses on salvation, not telling you specifically what to do to be saved, but when it's included in those verses about salvation, it's a faith and a trust in Jesus Christ. It's the risen Savior that Paul talks about. He's the one that lays the foundation. Paul is not the foundation, but Paul lays the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. It's the risen Christ. And he talks about the things that Paul has taught that we should have learned, and that those are the things that give us the God of peace. It looks to me like what the direction we should be going is with Paul, because he talks about the risen Savior. And yet it's like we need to have some little routine thing that makes us be saved. Either needs to be a prayer that people pray, a specific prayer. Here's what you should say. Here's a card. Read the card. Mean it with all your heart. Or ask Jesus into your heart. Or repeat after me. Or do you remember the specific time or date that you were saved and the place and this type of a thing? And those would be nice to have, but you know, when you start reading about what it is for salvation, I don't ever hear Paul bugging anybody about that. He tells them about. He tells what it is to be saved. He tells us the joys of salvation. He tells us what takes place when somebody's saved. He tells us about what how God looks upon us when we're saved. And he keeps talking about these things so many times, you would think that somebody who has any kind of a snugger up here at all would be able to read that thing and say, I need to have my faith in Jesus Christ. I need to trust Him because what He says. I trust in His blood to do what He says it does and trust that and believe that. And that's all Paul says. I wonder if we haven't just baptisticated or religicated or whatever, some kind of a routine thing that has to take place. And so our kids do it and other people do it. They see you do it. And after a while, everybody just does this thing. And when they get all done, they take the card from the pastor, and here this guy said he got saved tonight. And yet nothing happens. Nothing happens. And they get going, their life doesn't change. Well, because remember, Paul's talking about serving a living God. There's rebellion that takes place. We can understand the rebellion between the flesh, because our flesh is still full of sin. And we can choose to follow the flesh because the flesh pleases us. It pleases the flesh. The flesh pleases the flesh. So yes, there's always going to be those kind of battles. But what I'm getting concerned about more and more, and maybe I shouldn't use the word the stupidity, but I'll use it because we're family here. The people out there on the website are family as such. It's the stupidity of Christians not to know what should be going on once they're saved. Things happen. And I wonder if we aren't so involved with the wisdom of men, wisdom of this world. I wonder if we don't just get caught up in a brain thing. And we're going to look at tonight, wisdom, according to Paul, and of words, just words. Because we have a Bible that we believe to be the Word of God and the words of God. And what do we try to show other people? What do we try to talk about? What kind of words do we show them? So it's not a long study like it was this morning. This morning went pretty long. We sang four hymns too, but there was an awful lot of verses we got in. But for example, let's look at Thessalonians. Let's go right off to. Am I starting right? I got that. Okay, Thessalonians, and I'll show you. First Thessalonians, chapter 2. And we go to verse 13. Your verse is probably marked already, especially you with the tables. Easy to mark when you have tables. Isn't that right, Jason? Oh, sure it is. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us. So this is what they were telling people. Remember, they didn't have a Bible as such. They had scriptures, Old Testament scriptures, this type of a thing. Isaiah and all that, but they didn't have what Paul had written yet. So these people had to do the talking. And when they heard it, you received it not as the word of men, meaning these men. This isn't what they came up with. This is what God told them to say, which ought to click a bell a little bit for us today. Okay, but anyway. And it says there, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So the Word of God, if you have the Word of God and you are a Christian, it should work in you. Maybe you won't do anything different in your life, but you ought to be thinking on the inside, something's not going right. All those kind of things. So this Word of men. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm not going to tell you the verses, you tell me. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to talk about wisdom. We're going to talk about the mind. And we're going to spend most of our time tonight on the wisdom of this world. So where would we go in Ephesians chapter 4? What do you... Yeah, 17. I go to this a lot. I suppose you've noticed that. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, verse 17, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now we know again that the word Gentiles is referring to lost people, because Paul talks about the church of God and Gentiles. There's a difference there. So don't walk like a lost person walks, in the vanity of their mind. And we know what happens. Understanding is darkened, verse 18. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. So as a result, their understanding is darkened. The blindness of their heart, their past feeling, they don't care anymore, their past feeling, giving themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And then he says, but you have not learned Christ. Jesus Christ didn't tell you that. And if you learn from Christ, which is the risen Savior, you won't have a darkened understanding. You won't be alienated from the life of God. You won't be happier in this world than you are with God's way. All these kinds of things. You won't give up past feeling. Because we know what's going on. We don't like what's going on, but we know what's going on. No point in giving up on that department. So it says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. See, now that's my question. People that we're talking with that are Christians, are they hearing from Christ? I'll tell you, you know this, and I know this, but you know I stand in this thing. If they're not getting from a King James Bible, they're not hearing from Christ. And if they're hearing something in their heart and they're not reading their Bible, they better be hearing something based on a couple of King James Bible verses they memorized, and God's still working on it, because He'll do that if they're saved. But if they're not saved and they're not hearing from Christ, they're not going to get it. And if salvation is still the most important thing, obviously it is. Obviously it is. For understanding, for enlightenment that Paul talks about, to serve the living God, to turn from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God, there has to be, you have to hear from Christ. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. My notes were so organized this morning, and I kept botching them. I got a handwritten scribble. Maybe that'll be better tonight instead of missing all my verses. Just go that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, this is Paul's big concern here. Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Now, his folly really isn't folly, but people consider that his folly. That's why he says what he says. Kind of being sarcastic a little bit there, I suppose. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, this is not complicated stuff. The simplicity that is in Christ. Then he says, you know, because see, if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, he's afraid they'll bear with him. They'll go with that person. They'll hang around that person. Now, if it's a Christian, if it's a lost person, gets all caught up in all this mess and confusion, he could end up with just a different Jesus, another spirit, another God, and just the whole thing, just be a fake. It'd be an imitation. It'd be a farce. But it could also be a Christian who could be saved and yet doesn't turn to the words of Christ all that often. Maybe once in a while, maybe on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. Maybe he's really spiritual. You've got Sunday morning and Sunday night. Maybe he's really into it. He comes for Sunday school and church and Sunday night. Maybe he's one of the top 10 who comes Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Maybe he's in the top 3, he goes home and reads the stuff, and the top 1, who's looking for something in his life. And that's fine. But you have to turn to Christ. You have to turn to the words of Christ, just like it says there in Ephesians. Have you heard from Christ? So what we have here, we have in 1 Corinthians, let's go back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 20. And this wisdom of the world that is not King James Bible rightly divided Paul following wisdom. Whether it be religious wisdom or historical wisdom or political wisdom or whatever it is. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? God can do that. And if God will make foolish the wisdom of this world, what are we doing studying the wisdom of this world? Look at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And before you guys get excited out there in Ohio and the Midwest street crowd, don't forget, we did preach about the fact that preaching in many places has become more important than the Bible. People will go to church to hear the preaching, not to hear the Word of God. So when Paul says there, please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, now we have that in our Bible. And if you don't have the preaching, you still have the Bible. So I'll just try to pop that on you a little bit here. Look at Colossians. So the world by wisdom. That's the scholars. That's the brain crowd. That's the people that live by the vanity of their mind. They're trying to figure this thing out. And they're not going to go to a King James Bible. They're going to try to study this thing through. They don't have the faith anymore that Bible is the Word of God. That's been stolen a long time ago, away from people. And it's been stolen from Bible colleges where they get their Bibles taken from them. So that's kind of a strange thing. But what did I say? I said Colossians. Did I say Colossians? Okay, Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Okay, so these people have not met Paul yet. So they didn't meet Paul. They don't know what Paul's been teaching unless somebody else has passed it on. That their hearts might be comforted. Paul has got a great conflict for these people that haven't seen him yet, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, that's King James Bible there. And we have a great conflict for somebody who has not got a King James Bible. If they have one, they're not reading it. We want them to see this thing, rightly divide this thing, and they'll see some things that you probably haven't even seen yet. And it says it's the riches of the full assurance of understanding. So you don't get that from the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of men, as he says in Thessalonians. In whom, and now we know this Bible, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Those wouldn't be words from a King James Bible. These are words from men. These are words from scholars, the graduates, the educated bunch. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So they're hanging in there, he joys because of that. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So he knows he's talking to Christians, but he's concerned for them. He's not there to help them and stuff. That's like being concerned for a Christian, but he doesn't have a King James Bible, or doesn't have it with him, or doesn't read it, or whatever. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, he says there. Walk ye in him. If you've got Christ as your Savior, then walk ye in Christ Jesus the Lord. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Have I taught you that? No, but the Bible has. But then he comes up with verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after your King James Bible, and not after Christ. So that's a good warning. He has really a strong desire for people to get what they can get from Paul, and we know from our Bible. But if they don't get into that thing, they're very easily deceived by philosophy and vain deceit. Vain deceit is being high-minded, being lifted up, and it's vain. It's not going to do a thing. Tradition of men and the rudiments of the world. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians. We're talking tonight about the wisdom of men. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, ladies, don't get excited. Let's talk about wisdom, period, in this world, okay? It's not just the wisdom of men. Yeah, you men just don't have it together. But us women, we got it figured out. That kind of a thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. This is where Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So he didn't have to come together with this highfalutin, educated in the proper order, outlined type of a sermon. You know, I've had people of our church family here over the years come up and say to me, well, you know, that sermon was really well organized. That was really, I could tell that was a well-organized sermon. Oh, really? Well, I'm glad. You know, if you'd have been my English teacher, you could give me an A for that one. What tells me my other ones aren't as organized? Well, you know, whatever. That's not the point. He came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Look at 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, what we're going to be talking tonight with Paul, talking about what he says about words, we have the words that he's talking about here. So, we're like in a case like this, this Bible, does not come with the excellency of speech or of wisdom from men. Verse 4, the words and the preaching that comes out of this Bible are not enticing words of man's wisdom. It's just not, this Bible is not of men. So that's the same kind of application. Look at verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Can you prove to me why this King James Bible is the Word of God? Yes, but not if you won't believe it, no matter what I can prove. You know, you go to school to learn how to disprove a King James Bible. That's an amazing thing to me, but that's what they do. And their faith is standing in the wisdom of men. But in the power of God is where it's supposed to stand. This Bible is the power of God in our life. It really is. Look at verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And it's all in this Bible. I like that verse 8. Kind of a bunny shot here. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Because it says if they did, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. So God knows when to put this stuff forth. Can you imagine if there was a King James, if there was a Bible floating around during those days, and it would have said all that took place? And then they read about, look at this, Captain. We're going to do this tomorrow. Well, I'm not going to do this tomorrow, that kind of a thing. But they had the Old Testament scriptures, didn't they? They knew ahead of time what was coming. Who was the guy? Apollos. He was well versed in the scriptures. Not these, but the gospel ones. Okay, anyway. Let's look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Now look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak. That's what they're passing this on to the people. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So that's our Bible. God's given us His things freely. And these are not the words of man's wisdom, what they teach at all. And you know, how much time do we spend getting excited and getting really riled up and just really, and I can be guilty too, of something other than a Bible. We'll go out of our way to show something to somebody, but we're tired of the Bible issue. Well, why should we be so tired of the Bible issue? Let's look here at 2 Corinthians. No, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember I said this morning that sometimes we find ourselves trying to show something so they see, so they would believe, and that's, I think that's part of our struggle. They have to believe before they're going to see. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. See if this one kind of clicks your thinker a little bit here. Talking about this gift thing, which you talked about a couple weeks ago. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. And you go into this little section right here, we got the tongues. We know that that's not today. We've been over that thing. But you know, people will still see that God gives them wisdom. Just God gives them wisdom. And another, they're the word of knowledge. Now, what disappears when that which is perfect comes? What quits when that which is perfect was going to come? That which, and one of them is knowledge. With that knowledge, wisdom, all that kind of stuff. So if we're going to get any knowledge and wisdom from God today, it's got to come from this Bible. I mean, it's just that simple. So we see that. We realize that. Thought that was a good verse to kind of tie that in with 1 Corinthians 13:8, though. Let's go back to let's go up to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're basically looking at wisdom tonight. Man's wisdom or God's wisdom. We already know that God's wisdom is in this Bible. So let's spend most of our time tonight warning us about man's wisdom that's out there. Because it's out there. I mean, we can have a house full of books that is about everything except the truth. We can do that very easily. And there's a lot to learn from that stuff. I mean, they've been through it, 100 years, 200 years. Of course, I guess it depends on what book you read, what flavor's in that thing for the history kind of stuff. Anymore, you don't know who's telling the truth anymore. I'm not even sure George Washington is our president. I suppose he was. Were you there, Lewis, for that? Yeah. They haven't changed those history books that much yet. I was pretty shocked when he didn't cut down when I heard about the cherry tree story. That was kind of disappointing. Another one of my disappointments as a kid, except I probably believed it until I was an adult homeschooling, but whatever. You don't know what to believe anymore. You get stuff on the internet, you don't know if that's true or not. Like I was kind of teasing this morning, have you read the stimulus bill? Have we seen where the health people are going to, where you're not going to be able to get health insurance when you're past some of those years? Because they're just not going to do that. Have you read that? I haven't read that. I'm trusting somebody who's read it to say that. But they were saying that before it was out. So how do we know that? But then we trust these. You know what I'm saying? It's probably very reliable stuff. There's more stuff flying out now because it's out there to print. And I can send you the website if you want to read the whole thing. Thousands of some pages. You got time for a 1,000-page book of legal jargon? Yeah. That's what we hired those people for, wasn't it? To do that for us. I sent off a couple of hard letters to Kathy McMorris or whatever. Some pretty hard ones. I'm angry, I said. How can y'all vote for a bill that you haven't even read? What do we do now? How do we get going in this country? I can just see them going, uh-oh, we have an uprising, and where's this? Touchette, what's that? Did you vote for it? Well, good. Good. Oh, good for her. Yeah, still passed. Didn't even read the thing. Oh, boy. And more. Okay, so I just don't want that whole thing and this whole what's going on in this world to overshadow our Bible. That's what I'm concerned about. Now, let's look here at 2 Corinthians 1:12. Is that what I said? 2 Corinthians 1:12? 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our rejoicing is this. The testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, we have had our conversation in the world, a more abundantly to you word. I left out a little spot there just for a minute. So Paul and his little crowd there comes to us, and this Bible comes to us in simplicity and godly sincerity. This thing is real. And we ought to be going to people with simplicity and godly sincerity, because this is serious stuff. And that thing where it says, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. Conversation. General course of manners. I don't imagine that means thank you, please and thank you, and that kind of stuff. The manner of what? What does Paul say? Manner of life. That's his conversation. His behavior, deportment. A keeping company. Commerce in social life, your manner of life in social life. And this is interesting. Familiar acquaintance as a conversation with a book. Did you know that? Our conversation is not just what he says here, chat, unrestrained talk. I like that, unrestrained talk. Which you hear plenty of that. I'll get you involved. I keep picking on you, Jimmy, because you're brave. You can take it kind of stuff. Isn't there a lot of this unrestrained talk? It just comes out. But anyway, I'm guilty of that. I'm very guilty. But what are you doing tonight? I'm having a conversation with my book. That's what you can say. Conversation is a familiar acquaintance as a conversation with a book. I think that's pretty neat. So when he says there, we have had our conversation in the world. Well, they are. They're in the world. They have to be, like Paul says. You can't be in the world. You're going to leave this earth, he says. So you can't do that. But he says, and more abundantly to you word. What's that? Simplicity and godly sincerity. Now, what's the opposite of that? In the middle of that verse, it says, not with fleshly wisdom. Fleshly wisdom. But by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world. More abundantly to you word. Simplicity and godly sincerity. Look at Ephesians, if you would. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about this one of his prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Remember, this is back in Paul's day, so that's what he would give to these people. Now, where do we have that spirit of wisdom and revelation today in the knowledge of him? King James Bible. I think that's one of the things people are starting to realize what it is that we're saying. And yet, you've got people out there who say God gave them that wisdom. God has given them that revelation of the knowledge of... How do you know about this? Well, God told me that. And there's plenty of that. There's tons of that. So they take that philosophy and they take it to a Bible college, they take it to a college, which, by the way, I forgot the name of the college. It's not one of the weird ones. It's not Berkeley. It's something in somewhere in Michigan or Wisconsin. They have a class on how to be gay. So... are you ready to send your kids to college? I mean, it's just getting terrible. That's where you go to get wisdom of this world. It's amazing. Verse 17? We read that, didn't we? Okay, the spirit of wisdom was given, and that was Paul's prayer. Now that's been answered with this Bible. Now, my prayer, as well as should yours be for other people, is that they get into this Bible and they read this thing and they look at this as the truth, they acknowledge this as the truth, and God will take them from that point. And I wonder if we have spent as much time in our Bible this week as we have in other books about what's going on. I mean, this is still priority. This is still priority. Look at chapter 3, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. This is one of a great chapter. He's talking about his whole ministry coming down here, the mystery that God has revealed to him. And it goes on in verse 10, it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The church, those are Bible-believing people. Those are saved people. What can they know? They can know the manifold wisdom of God. We can learn that, but not from the wisdom of men at all. Look at Colossians. It's just another one of his prayers, similar to the Ephesian ones in verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So there's where He gives us our wisdom. Now, let's go and let's look back at Acts 26:25. I'm anxious to hear how Jason's sermon on Acts 27 went this morning about the shipwreck. Acts 26, 25. You said Stephen was there, right? Acts 26, 25. And we remember the story from this morning here a little bit. Now we're talking Festus this time. Because Festus is accusing him of being mad for what he has to say. You know, remember what it is that these people are being taught by Paul about the resurrection of the dead. That's not something that's happened before as such, other than when Jesus did it the one time with Lazarus and this type of thing. Here's Paul saying that we all can be resurrected from the dead. That had to be a little shocking. Wouldn't you give a little credit? I mean, it's quite a shocking story. And Festus says, you know, much learning doth make thee mad. But he, meaning Paul, said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. That's what we have here, words of truth and soberness. It really is not a party. Paul tells us a number of times is to be sober, what things are going on in this world. It can get really rough here pretty soon. I told you this morning, I'm looking at those Reminisce magazines, almost thinking that we're looking into the near future here instead of just the past. That's kind of a rough thing. I shouldn't worry about it because we know what's happening. Get that from the wisdom of God. I still don't think this Bible is all that difficult to understand. Now that rightly dividing has rightly divided it. I really don't. If I could just sit down with some folks in the West or the Midwest or South or whatever, let them get a shot of this thing. It's like Jason's getting excited and Kenny's talked about it a little bit. And Stephen, high school kid, getting excited about these things. Anyway. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we mentioned this verse this morning again. But I say, Romans chapter 10, verse 18, we get done with all this stuff about how they're going to hear, you know. And he says, but I say, have they not heard? Yea, verily, their sound went into all the earth. And then it says, in their words unto the ends of the world. And we know what those words were. Those were words given to those guys by God Himself. Now, what do we have today? We have words. We have words. Look at Romans 16. Here's one of the battles we have to fight. Romans chapter 16, verse 18. For they that are such, and those are the ones that are causing divisions and offenses, that they're contrary to what Paul teaches in verse 17, he says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, you know what people don't get when they come here? They don't get good words from me and a fair speech. They get God's words, and they get a sermon. Now, my point is this. If there had been somebody here this, maybe you would have brought somebody here this morning, and they've been to this church where the man is really suave and all this stuff, and $500 suit and all that kind of stuff, and just speaks properly and the whole thing, and this is what they're used to. How many times did I botch the verses this morning and this chapter? What is this? You know, and then somebody pops up with the correct answer. I don't even want to hear the correct answer anymore, and all this kind of stuff. That's just not good words and fair speeches. Where did this pastor come from anyway? And you go, well, you know, I wish he hadn't come today. You know, it's not usually this bad any other days. And these people want good words and fair speeches. This is what they want. They want their ears tickled, as we know in Timothy. Let's go back to Ephesians here. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. There's a warning. I think it's like maybe this hasn't been everybody's Bible lately, but maybe it still is in yours. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Now, we've already read some other verses that talk about the wisdom of men. Paul didn't come with the wisdom of words. He didn't try to put some stuff together to make it happen. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That tells me that people can be snookered, they can be cheated, they can be subtly deceived, and it can affect their salvation. Because let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God. So people can be deceived with vain words, and they'll get clobbered by the wrath of God. Then it says, be not therefore partakers with them. He goes on and says, you know, what, you were one time part of them, but now you're not. Let's be the Christian we're supposed to be. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We don't want to be beguiled with enticing words. The philosophy and vain deceit of this world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. For neither at any time use we flattering words. Okay, look at verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who trieth our hearts. Look at verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. So, flattering words. That's the wisdom of men, is flattering words. How did this guy get elected? Flattering words. How do people vote for something they don't even know what it means? Flattering words. How do people get involved in these other churches and Bibles? Flattering words. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. What keeps you from your Bible? Flattering words. This is much more fun to read than the Bible. Even though I know you still want to read your Bible, you still want to rightly divide it. I know we do that here. But how easy is it for us to get caught up still in the wisdom of men today? Because it's absolutely everywhere. And I'm afraid when somebody gets doubt from their Bible or doubt from the folly of the Christianity that they have seen, like our children growing up, and they see some things that didn't seem real in the parents, or they just saw the folly of it over their time, and then they drop it all, and they're going to turn to what? Wisdom of men. And it's flattering. And it's vain words, but it's still flattering to them. That's very scary. And this Bible is not confusing. This Bible is not hard to understand, if it's rightly divided. Anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 4, is that what I said? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. 6? 1 Timothy 4, 6. Yep, 1 Timothy 4, 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, and those are the verses before it there about seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. Seducing spirits, such as music that's caught up within a child's video of a whale, things like that. Those kind of seducing spirits. That the parents don't even know the child is being prepared for this kind of music level later on. Verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. You know, you're learning to walk the Christian walk. Then it goes on to some more things about daily walk. We won't do those tonight. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. We see in verse 3 that a man is supposed to be teaching wholesome words. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, for somebody who doesn't do that, and they teach worldly wisdom or the words of this world or whatever, here's that description again. He's proud, knowing nothing. And isn't that amazing to say about a scholar? They know nothing. And I say it all the time, we get into this thing, our little kids here, if you don't mind me saying little kids, our little kids here know about their Bible more than scholars do. Because they know how to rightly divide it. They may not remember the verses when they're by themselves, but they know that needs to be done, and they've been taught that. It's amazing. So these people that don't follow those words, they're proud, knowing nothing, doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. And he tells us to stay away from these people. He tells us to stay away from them. He tells us to stay away from them. Why? Because they're vain, they're flattering, they're enticing. It'll keep you out of your Bible. And then lastly, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Lastly? Serious? We went really long this morning, so I'm kind of giving you a break tonight. That gives Jason and those guys a chance to listen to the sermons from this morning out there tonight still. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. We're supposed to hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me. Now, who's me? Yeah. In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So the words that Paul is giving to us are the words of the risen Savior, correct? That's the point we got to get people to see. Hold fast to form a sound words. Sound words in Titus would be sound doctrine in chapter 2. Is that correct? So, yeah. That's amazing. There we are. I mean, it's just a little admonition or a challenge or charge to us that those sound words we need to hold fast to, knowing that anything else out there is enticing, it's flattering, it can take us away from our Bible, it can confuse us, it can make us frustrated, because none of those adjectives, I think those are adjectives, would come out of our Bible. If you've got something in your Bible that you don't understand, then study it. It will be answered all in due time.